7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. It's Friday. Weekend's looking oh so sweet.
Oh, beautiful.
Gorgeous.
This, I was telling myself, said if I'm so able and efficient, I think today is the day that I get the break the golf clubs out and hit the driving range to make sure that I can still actually, you know,
I didn't know you golfed.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been a while, number one. And number two,
okay.
I'm not great.
like a lot of us.
I'm actually quite poor.
I find I do my best when I haven't played for a very long time.
Right.
And I'm not in my head. And we'll go play in a scramble. I'll hit like four or five shots and be pretty good. And then I start to think, well, playing pretty good today.
Oh, yeah.
And then I start to press because I'll make one bad shot.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
The fall begins. I'll tell you this, and Tyler Franson drinking game every time he mentions family, hydrate.
Okay, thank you.
So my mom and I did a par three once. We're just, you know, we're out there. It's early morning. You still get the dew on the grass, and it's all great. It's just a par three, simple little golf course. She kicked my tuggus. I'm hitting shots into the sand. They're not going straight. And then here's her. She's like, oh, I almost got a hole in one. I'm like, oh, great.
You suck.
Thanks.
Sorry, Mom.
Love you, but you suck.
Thanks a lot, Mom.
You know, thanks for giving me life and all, but come on, you can't.
Thanks for doing that. I mean, that
other than that.
That thing that
moms do.
Brought me into reality.
Yeah, willed me into existence, but the water on hole three just, yeah.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks a lot.
Ugh.
Yeah. That song was probably playing your mom's head.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Hello, friends.
Oh. So, yeah, Mother Nature, speaking of mothers, playing a role in yesterday's Masters tournament.
It looks great right now. I'm watching it on the screen. It looks absolutely gorgeous right now, but yesterday,
it's
a little
springtime in Georgia. Georgia. So right now got Bryson DeChambeau with the lead, one shot lead over Scottie Scheffler heading into this morning. Tiger will finish his first round today. What about the guy, Jerry Thacker?
Who?
Jerry Thacker.
Jerry Thacker?
Jerry Thacker apparently refused to sell his house. Augusta National gave Herman Thacker's brother, Jerry Thacker, an offer he couldn't refuse, and he sold the house to two other properties for $3.6 million. But apparently, there was some battle over selling a house to Augusta National.
Was it like right next to the course or
something?
Right
next to the course.
Okay.
Owners of 1,900 square foot home next to Masters Golf Course have turned down vast sums of money by refusing to sell to Augusta National owners. They've been buying up property. One family, the Thackers, who live adjacent to the free parking lot, have refused to sell their property despite regular million-dollar offers from club officials. Apparently, one of the other members of the Thacker family sold theirs, but Herman Thacker passed away in 2019, watched his house in the neighborhood slowly disappear. But the estimated value of the house, $348,000, and they've offered millions for it. Herman's brother, William Thacker, also once owned four properties in the area, now claimed by the club after initially refusing to sell. Club offered him $400,000, but he suspected he was being given a lowball offer. And then Herman Thacker sold a second property across the street for $1.2 million, but then Herman refused to sell his home while alive, and Elizabeth continues to live there. She's a widow, so.
So it's the widow that's playing hardball here.
Yeah, so to speak.
Which part of me kind of understands.
I had to sort through this a little bit. It was a little bit of a complicated story. So apparently they've rejected offers from Augusta National to sell their beloved home.
I get sticking to your guns. I do. But like, if your house is only worth $350,000 and you're getting offered $1 million from it, from Augusta, like, take it. You can get a nicer house. You can get another house next to a golf course.
But if I'm Mrs. Thacker, the widow Thacker, sound like we're
the widow Thacker.
We're doing some show from the 1800s. The widow Thacker.
The widow Thacker. It's
here's the sell to the railroad.
Coming to BBC One.
The widow Thacker.
Widow Thacker. A Jane Austen experience.
You know, it'd be Helen Mirren playing the widow Thacker.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta get Helen Mirren.
But I'd want to drive the price up for the grandkids. I mean, my shelf life is pretty much expired. I'm gonna be leaving this mortal coil very soon. I'm saying, okay, Augusta National, now you have to deal with my grandkids.
Right.
And they're gonna want even more from you guys.
But also, I feel like the grandkids are probably like close to my age. And you know, the real estate market ain't exactly friendly to those of us in the millennial era. If you get offered nearly, what's the math on that? Like 2/3 of the value twice or what? No. $300,000 house.
Math on the fly is never easy.
It's never easy. $300,000 house, you're getting offered it for $1 million. That is a net profit of $700,000. You can get a house next to a golf course for $700,000. It might be a crappy golf course, but it's still next to a golf course. And it's not in Augusta, Georgia. No disrespect, but also there's a reason that Augusta is famous for Augusta National and not literally anything else. If you want to go to Georgia, go to Atlanta, a place of culture and, you know, wonderful music. Augusta, I've heard, it's a little little woodsy.
Yes, it is a little woodsy. That's true. So DeChambeau with the one-shot lead back in the course this morning. Nikolai Hoggard. He tied the lowest debut round by a European player all time. Shot a 5-under yesterday.
That's good.
That's pretty good. All right, so we have a busy show this morning. Steve Ryer, Delta baseball coach, coming up. They hammered Eagle Valley 23-3 yesterday. They have a doubleheader at Gunnison Tuesday. We're going to bring in the first game of that doubleheader this Tuesday on the team. So we'll talk with Steve Ryer, trying to track down Mary Doan, because Mary Doan, Central girls basketball coach, making news this morning. Because Mary Doan is no longer going to be the Central girls basketball coach.
She's going across town.
She is going to be the new coach of the Grand Junction Tigers girls basketball team, replacing Sydney Brandon, who coached for Mary Doan at Central before Sid coached the Tigers the last two seasons. And Josh King of Central confirming this last night that Mary is leaving. So they're looking to replace John Sedanich, boys and basketball coach, and now Mary Doan. Josh King is going to be burning the midnight oil.
That poor guy.
Yeah. Our friend Josh King is going to be very busy trying to find replacements for both. And Josh had nothing but wonderful things when I texted him last night. Hey, is this true? He's a huge loss for us. Wonderful coach, wonderful person. And so a high regard for what Mary Doan has done since taking over for Todd Dixon back in 2017. But Grand Junction with the gym sounds like it's going to be pretty sweet, the new gym. And Steve Wojtek's got a couple good hires there, obviously, with Dutch Johnson deciding to come back and coach the Tiger boys.
Yep.
After working for previously Mike DeGeorge over at CMU. And then
and now Mike DeGeorge going to Cal Poly.
And so Dutch did a nice job getting the Tiger boys into the postseason this year. And Grand Junction girls, you know, last couple of years for Sam Provenza, things were tough, but Sam had a remarkable career at Grand Junction High School coaching the Tiger girls. And Mary and Sam are very, very close. Don't know if Sam's necessarily going to come back and help Mary coach.
I was going to say, he's probably enjoying that retirement life.
But never say never, that maybe Sam Provenza comes back and helps Mary a little bit. We'll see what happens with that. We're trying to track down Mary down, though, to see if she'll come on and talk about it. But it has been confirmed by Josh King, Central's AD, that Mary Doan will be the next girls basketball coach at Grand Junction High School, that she is leaving to take that job. So, great get for Steve Wojtek and Grand Junction. And for Josh King, that's a huge loss. To lose a coach that took them to the Sweet 16, like what, 2021, 2022, something like that, that they got to the Sweet 16, and then have been to the state tournament the last 2 years as well, and has just done a remarkable job coaching at Central High School. So where Grand Junction needed somebody to come in and right the ship, the girls program has really, really struggled the last several years. And Mary Doan's certainly someone who can come in and like I said, right the ship, if you will, for the Grand Junction girls basketball program. Gonna have a new gym, as we've talked about, and that's gonna be something that certainly will be an attraction to some.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. New school,
new facilities.
There's always the new school bump, if you will.
Yeah.
For anybody that builds a new high school.
That new school smell.
There's nothing like the new school smell. Nothing like it. And the Grand Junction girls this past year, they went winless in league, 6-17 on the season. They improved in year two under Sydney Brandon. There's no doubt that they improved in her second season there. But Sydney stepping away from that job, and now Mary Doan will be the next Tigers girls coach, and we hope to talk with her. I mean, for Grand Junction, Sydney's first year, they went 0-23. Sam Provenza's last season, they went 1-22, 2-12, 7-18. The last really, really good year for Grand Junction girls basketball was 2018-2019. They went 16-8 and went 5-3 in the league. That's when they had Mackenzie Yonker, Dulcie Hanlon. They had some pretty good players that year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's been famine, not feast, by any stretch of the imagination, for the Grand Junction girls basketball program. And so Mary Doan will be taking that program over, according to Josh King, Central's athletic director. So I confirmed that last night to us. All right, 7:13. Jim along with Cake. So we all have a lot to get to on the program. Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex, going to stop by. I hate to bring this up to him.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to have to.
Oh, God.
The Arizona Coyotes could become the Utah Coyotes. The way things are looking right now, it's not looking good for his Yotes. Not looking good. They're going to stay in Arizona. And if they move to Utah, will he continue to be a Coyotes fan or Coyotes fan? We've had people give us crap about that. No, it's Coyotes. It's not Coyotes. How come I hear Coyotes all the time?
All the time.
The time. All the time. Come on, man. I think it's Rolando, like, oh, it's Coyotes, not Coyotes.
Really? Okay. We're going to get that granular.
You say tomato then, sir? Do you say tomato then, as opposed to tomato?
Potato, potato.
Let's just call the whole damn thing off, okay? Let's just stop. Let's move on. 7:14. All right, so one other thing, if you want to, we got into this yesterday with the death of O.J. Simpson.
Uh-huh.
And I did enjoy the way Rome phrased it, that it had to be the happiest day in a long time for the Goldman family with the death of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Since they did not get justice in that whole thing.
Didn't seem like it.
We kind of started this whole Mount Rushmore of scumbags yesterday.
Oh. Do they have... Now, point of order. Okay. Do they have to be from the world of athletics, or can they just be general scumbags?
Gotta be world of athletics. Gotta be sports. Gotta be sports guys.
Gotta be sports. All right.
I think there was kind of an agreement that Ray Kruth might be, even as bad as Oge was, mm-hmm. Ray Kruth might be the guy that's at the very top of that mountain. Now, Guru Gary sent Jim Trier, who played for the Dallas Texans, which became the Kansas City Chiefs, played in the league. The Jim Trier with the murder-suicide.
Yeah, that's not great.
That Jim Trier was a standout tackle at Ohio State, played in the AFL, played for Washington as well, played in that Super Bowl that the Chiefs played against the Packers, the first Super Bowl, and that Jim Trier, that 1980... three of his four children are asleep in their home, shot his wife before he killed himself.
Yee.
Yikes. Ray Kruth hired somebody to kill his pregnant girlfriend. The child survived, but was disabled.
Yeah.
Special place in hell for a guy like that. Not that the Oge isn't going to be there with him, with right. Ray Kruth, but or Jim Trier or anybody else like that. But
if we're going to add to the list, I know we said Mount Rushmore, which usually implies only four, but we could go. There is a list, and I will say I'm a little surprised that his name hasn't been brought up in the Mount Rushmore of scumbags in athletics. Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jerry Sandusky belongs. That's a name that didn't come out yesterday. Yeah, it's special place in hell.
Yeah, that's a name. And then I guess by extension, Joe Paterno
Joe Pa's complicated. Joe Paterno deserves blame. Turn a blind eye. He also donated a lot of money to Penn State for academic buildings.
Right.
He did good things. We had Dave Rakeski on. Dave used to be a school psychologist and worked here in town. Mm. And his son John's the coach at Windsor High School. And they got to the state championship game in basketball recently. John's a great player at Fertile Monument. Dave played linebacker for Joe Paterno in the 60s, late 60s. And we had him on when the whole Joe Paterno thing was going on, and it was difficult to talk about it because Dave Rakeski had incredible, wonderful memories of playing for Joe Paterno, what a great man he was. Now he valued academics and what a great coach and what a good man he was. And it was hard for him and a lot of guys like him that played for Joe Paterno to take what their personal experience was and then what the experience was, what had happened with Jerry Sandusky, mm-hmm. and the flat out, just, I don't know what you classify what Joe Paterno did. He didn't do anything really.
That was the problem is that he was
turning a blind eye to, well, it's just, no, I don't think it's a problem. And it's like, well, yeah, it was, Joe, you had multiple people coming to you.
Yeah.
Telling you that this is a problem. With Jerry Sandusky, and I don't know where you put Joe Paterno in how that all played out. Sandusky
100%.
Joe Paterno's more complicated. Was he just a naive old man? I don't know. I think that gives him too easy of a pass.
Yeah,
I mean, kids were being violated by this monster.
Yeah.
And you did nothing to stop it, Joe Paterno. You had the ability to stop him in his tracks. Stop a man who was a predator.
Yeah.
And you did nothing. And in some ways, Joe Paterno deserves the vitriol that he's received over the decades that he received before his passing. And it washes away all the good that he did as a football coach, as a donor to Penn State, giving back to that institution. All right, 7:20. Do you want to continue on with a scumbag Mount Rushmore scumbag with O.J. Simpson's passing. You can do that today as well.
Art Briles.
Art Briles definitely belongs in that category. You can text or call. Stay on the team line. 970-242-1340. Jim along with Cake from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. It is time for...
What's Happening?
And What Happening, as always, brought to you by ComWest. They're your technology service partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. If you need help with your IT anywhere on the Western Slope, call ComWest today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off with Bryson DeChambeau leads the Masters Golf Tournament after day one at Augusta National in Georgia. DeChambeau shot a first day 7-under. With Scottie Scheffler one shot back. Tiger Woods will finish his first round today after bad weather cut play short on Thursday. Denver University's hockey team. The men are into the NCAA championship game after defeating Boston University 2-1 in overtime in Minnesota. The Pioneers' Tristan Bros scored the overtime game winner as DU takes on Boston College in the title game tomorrow. Top seed of Boston College shut out Michigan 4-0 in the other semifinal. DU's going for their 10th national title. The championship game is tomorrow at 4 o'clock. One of the most controversial figures in sports has died. Pro Football Hall of Fame running back O.J. Simpson died after a battle with cancer. The 76-year-old Simpson was the first player in the NFL to rush for 2,000 yards in the season after he won the Heisman Trophy at USC. In 1994, Simpson was charged with murder in the deaths of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman. He was acquitted by a jury in the case. He was later convicted in 2008 of 12 counts of armed robbery and kidnapping. Of kidnapping of two sports memorabilia collectors. He served 9 years in a Nevada prison before he was released. Central High School now has to find a new girls basketball coach along with a new boys basketball coach. Warriors Athletic Director Josh King has confirmed that Coach Mary Doan is leaving Central go cross town to coach the Grand Junction Tigers girls team. Doan has coached at Central since 2017 after replacing Todd Dixon in 2022. Doan led 20-5 Central in the 4A Sweet 16 and has taken the Warriors into the postseason the last 2 years. Central's also looking to replace retiring boys head coach John Sedanich. Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse is 5-1. Mount Lake Platte after taking down Fruitland Monument, Montrose, and Crested Butte to start out the month of April. After a bumpy start to the season, Tigers head coach Armando Renteria says that some changes in-house have led to their league record being the best that it is.
We're starting to mesh and we're starting to get all on the same page. We worked out some stuff internally, and I think it's all moving forward from here. Boys are just buying in. You know, we got a couple of new coaches joining our staff, and I think that bring a new energy. That's what's helping us out.
Grand Junction defeated Crested Butte 9-8 Thursday with Tristan Britton scoring 3 goals and Paxton Weber adding 2 goals. The 5-6 Tigers host Durango on April 20th. Grand Junction girls lacrosse team lost their second straight 1-goal game in a 7-6 loss to Grandview on Thursday. Tigers also fell 15-14 to Fruitland Monument earlier in the week. And the Tigers' first Mountain League loss of the season. Grand Junction 6-3. They're 5-1 in league. Fruitland Monument girls lacrosse team defeated Eagle Valley 17-5 at Canyonview on Thursday. Gianna Diedrich and McKenna Jensen each scored 4 goals each as the Wildcats improved to 3-2. Palisade girls soccer team lost their first match of the season and falling in Battle Mountain 3-1 Thursday. Bulldogs are 7-1-1 overall and 5-1-1. In Western Slope League play, and the Central girls tennis team defeated Montrose 6-1 Thursday. The Warriors' Joey Smith and Casey Carlson won at number 2 and 3 singles, with the Redhawks' Andy Blowers winning at number 1 singles. In baseball yesterday, Delta went to Eagle Valley, won 23-3. We'll talk with Steve Reier, Panthers coach, coming up in just a moment. Cover Mesa baseball team is taking a break from RMAC play as they score off against a former West Region rival in Chico State, California, starting tonight. Wildcats are 20-12 overall with an impressive 11-5 road record. Both teams have an opponent batting average of .297 on the offensive side. CMU's hitting .340 as a team, with Chico State hitting .279. Mavs skipper Chris Hang says at the end of the day, it's what the Mavs do themselves that matters, not what their opponent does.
More important what we do and how we play as opposed to our opponents. Sometimes all the scouting you do can be accurate, but on any given weekend, a kid you face isn't either as good or they're better. It's just unpredictable, so we really focus a lot on controlling what it is that we do.
Game one of the series is tonight. You can hear it on the Team CMU Sports Network, presented by Ken Richards State Farm, pregame at 5:50 for that one. First pitch at 6:05 from the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. And that's
What's Happening
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service provider. If you need IT help today for your business, call ComWest 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. Steve Ryer, Delta Panthers baseball coach, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots. On Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Delta Panthers sports on The Jim Davis Show.
And Delta Panthers baseball coach Steve Ryer, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. And right now, Steve Ryer joins us. Hello, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Let's try that again. Steve, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just said button was not turned on that needed to be turned on. I was appreciate you coming on, particularly on short notice. Your team goes to Eagle Valley. You win 23-3 yesterday. Stats aren't up yet, but give us a little bit of a recap of what happened yesterday at Eagle Valley. Your ball club obviously went out and had a huge offensive day.
Yeah, we swung it really well yesterday. You know, first inning, Landon Clay hit a solo home run and kind of got things going. And, you know, they answered, Eagle Valley answered us that first inning and scored three. They hit three balls hard, and Landon Kennel was on the mound and was struggling with his off-speed stuff a little bit, but then he got that squared away. And then we had two big innings in a row where we just start clubbing the ball. I think Jesse Delgado ended up with three doubles on the day, and Rip Lockhart had a couple of doubles. Rylan Bynum hit a home run. So, yeah, we were swinging it really well. I thought we saw the ball really well yesterday.
Six-game winning streak right now, and you guys have been absolutely fantastic. You had that 5-4 win over Durango out of the Southwestern League that started this winning streak. 12 runs against Bennett. You win another one-run game when you faced University, your old foe there. And then 19 against Ken Denver, 15-0 to open up league play against Aspen, and then the 23 runs yesterday. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, it's been a nice little mixed bag. You've had to win a couple of close games, one-run games, but you've also had some games your team has just gone out and really came out of the gate hot and fast with some of those crooked numbers you put up in some of those games.
Yeah, you know, it seems like we're swinging at 1-9, and then even guys coming off the bench. And you know, as a head coach, it makes it a good problem to have, you know, when you know you've got guys that are waiting to get their turn, and you know they're going to do a good job as well. But it's also a challenge, because then it's you know, sometimes it's tough to get all those bats opportunities, you know, in meaningful spots. But you know, it's a good problem to have. I'd much rather have that problem than the other side of it.
Absolutely, of course. Like you said, from an offensive standpoint, boy, your team has been red hot, hitting .339 right now. As I mentioned, you've had to win a couple of close games, and certainly pitching plays into that, where in the latter innings, guys have to come in and get the job done. Kind of take us through what you've seen from your pitching so far.
Yeah, I've been really pleased with our pitching staff. You know, obviously Landon Kennel and Ty Reed, but also Rip Lockhart and Lance Porter. Those guys have done a phenomenal job for us as well. You know, situation where the guys go out and they throw the ball well, because they know they have good defense behind them, and makes it awful easy to throw strikes when you know you have a solid defense behind you.
Delta Panthers coach Steve Ryer with us as the Panthers go to Gunnison on Tuesday. Gunnison right now 1-1 in the Western Slope League, 4-4. I know they have coming up later today, they have Centauri. But it's a ball club so far, Steve, for them that just kind of take us to some, looking for some of their numbers. They have not put up any player stats. But what do you know about this Gunnison ball club that you have on Tuesday?
Well, they're always competitive. Tom Percival does a great job with that program. You know, they're going to come at you. You know, they're going to swing the bats well, and they're going to play solid defense. And, you know, pitching-wise, they're going to come at you as well. So we're going to have to go over there and play extremely well both games to get wins out of those. And the kids know that. I think we're pretty dialed in and focused right now. So, you know, it's we're in a good place right now, and it's a lot of fun.
Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team with us right now. Delta 8-3 overall, 1-0 in league play. And just, you know, Steve, just a quick look around the 3A Western Salt League. Your team off to obviously a really good start. North Fork, they've got a couple of league wins already. They're 8-4 overall, 2-0 in league play. Roaring Fork, Basalt, Coleridge, they've all picked up a win just like your ball club. And it just looks like it's going to be a real battle. North Fork, you know, your rival there from just down the road in Hotchkiss, they're off to a really good start this season.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the league teams are playing pretty well, and it makes it fun. You know, it's nice when you have a solid league and you have to, you know, scrap it out every game, and because I think it makes you better as a program. I think it makes you know, the league stronger. It's good for everybody involved. So it's fun to see these other teams playing well.
Hey, Steve, I appreciate you coming on short notice today. Once again, we'll have Delta Panther Baseball on 102.1 in Delta coming up on Tuesday. We'll have the first game of that doubleheader, then we'll have baseball here from the Valley later on that evening. But we'll have that first game, 2:45 pregame, first pitch at 3 o'clock when Delta plays at Gunnison in Western Slope League play this Tuesday right here on the team. Steve, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jim. You as well.
Take care. Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team. All right, 7:33. Jim, along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. So got a Mount Rushmore of scumbags like we were doing yesterday, which kind of turned into a lot of fun. Reaction to Mary Doan moving from Central to Grand Junction High School. Still trying to find... trying to connect with Mary about potentially coming on, but it has been confirmed by Josh King that Mary is leaving Central to take over the Grand Junction girls job. So I've got some reaction to that today as well from James over at Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer House. I got to swing by and get a cup of that coffee that he made me the last time.
What was it, the almond?
Yeah, it was
something.
I've never been a coffee fan until now. And now it's like I got to get that cup of coffee again. I do. I've got to swing by.
You're hooked. That.
I'm hooked, man. Thanks, James. You got me hooked. Let's see. He's got, I would say Ty Cobb would probably be on that list. Great show, guys, and happy Friday. Ty Cobb's history has also kind of become a little more complicated over the years.
Right.
Because some of the things that he was accused of weren't entirely true. And so that's kind of fact into the narrative about Ty Cobb that, well, not the most kind, understanding, progressive kind of guy.
Right.
That maybe was not as bad of a human being as everybody made him out to be.
So what I agree with you, first of all. Yeah, the Ty Cobb thing, as we kind of learn more and more, it's becoming less black and white and much more gray. Now, I've gone down the internet rabbit hole of just kind of looking up, because other people have written articles about this, you know, the biggest scumbags in sports, and there's some names I kind of forgot about. So I'm just gonna rattle off. I know this isn't four on Mount Rushmore.
Right. And I've got something else about Cobb here when you're done, though.
Okay. So we mentioned Jerry Sandusky, Art Briles as well. Ray Rice.
Yes, absolutely.
Bill Romanowski was kind of a Delta Bravo.
But did his behavior, you know, rise to the level of somebody being murdered? Aaron Hernandez, yes.
Aaron Hernandez.
Ray Kruth, yes.
Yes.
Oge got acquitted.
Well, so
let's be honest about that. We're still, I think most of us feel like, yeah, he probably murdered his ex-wife and Ron Goldman.
Yeah, probably not rise to the level of murder, but I mean, he broke a guy's eye socket, forcing him to retire, and got sued for it. And then years later, he and his wife got investigated for prescription drug fraud.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. He's
total scumbag.
Not a great guy.
Remember former LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling?
Oh, what an awful human being. Racist and slumlord.
Banned from the NBA. Yeah, that guy is on the scumbag list.
Yeah.
Bobby Petrino. Total scumbag.
And he still is
still coaching.
Oh. Not as a head coach anymore, but as an assistant.
Yeah. Mike Rice, not our Mike Rice.
No, not the Mike Rice we know.
The former Rutgers coach, Mike Rice. Total scumbag. Let's see.
You ever see the Melissa McCarthy, like,
yes,
her female version of
the SNL skit?
It was great.
If you could,
it's great.
If you could dodge a golf cart, you could dodge a.
It's great.
Oh, man. So good. Richie Incognito. Remember that guy?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Forcing the rookie to pay out thousands of dollars for dinner, the rookie hazing, the bullying, the general scumbaggery. Conor McGregor, that guy is kind of a, with all the, like,
though he's a really good villain in the new Roadhouse movie.
Oh, I bet. I bet he didn't have to do much preparation at all.
Hey, Conor, just play yourself. You'll be just fine.
Lance Armstrong.
Scumbag.
Scumbag.
Hero. Scumbag.
Hero turned scumbag. You know, we gotta include, we gotta be equal here. Tanya Harding.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Great movie.
Fantastic movie. Tanya Harding, though, still kind of a scumbag.
Why?
Yeah.
Poor Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Still.
And Nancy ain't exactly a.
I know, but she did get whacked in the leg with a club. So.
Yeah, that's. So yeah, those are some names. I just scouring the internet, going, oh yeah. Antonio Brown is, I think, a very recent addition.
How dare they not retire my number? How dare they give my number to somebody else?
Like, bro, stop it.
You're not Lynn Swan, dude. You're not John Stallworth, okay? Simmer down. Good player, pain in the ass, should not have never have his number retired by the Steelers.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever.
Totally agree.
But the thing about Ty Cobb, and James brings this up, and I'm glad he did, because if you watch, you know, like Ken Burns, I mean, the Ty Cobb narrative was that he was very racist, beat up two black men just because they were black. And we found out over the years that wasn't necessarily true. Did he get in a fight with two black men? Yes, he did. He also fought a lot of white guys. And part of the problem for Ty Cobb was very thin-skinned, was baseball's biggest star, leading up to, of course, Babe Ruth. And he didn't handle his celebrity very well. There was a lot of feeling that because he was from Georgia, he was Southern, it naturally made him racist. But I like a lot of people, and James and many of us, you bought the stories over the years that Ty Cobb is an incredibly racist, violent guy.
Yeah.
Did he like to fight? Was he likes to fight guy? Absolutely, he was likes to fight guy. Anybody said anything to him that he viewed as any kind of insult, he went off on them. Not just verbally, but physically. But the story about Ty Cobb is interesting, that he was never asked about segregation until 1952. And that's when the Texas League was integrating. And Sporting News asked him what he thought. And he said, this is his quote, "The Negro should be accepted wholeheartedly and not grudgingly. The Negro has the right to play professional baseball, and who's to say he has not?" And by that time, you know, he'd been to a lot of Negro League games. Sometimes he'd throw out the first pitch, and he would sit in the dugout with the players. He's quoted as saying that Willie Mays was the only modern player he'd pay to see, and that Roy Campanella was a ball player that reminded him most of himself. And this is the stuff we didn't hear. We heard about, went into the stands, fought a black man, was racist. And these are the stories you don't hear about Ty Cobb. So it's, Ty Cobb is somebody that, like, you have OJ, who, when I was growing up, OJ was beloved.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loved OJ Simpson. Even if you weren't a Buffalo Bills fan, you loved OJ Simpson. And he was in Hertz rental car commercials, running through the airport, jumping over luggage. consummate pitch man, pitch dingo boots. I remember I had a comic book when I was a kid that had a comic version of O.J. Simpson, and this kid was like getting bullied or something, and O.J. was there to prop up his confidence and say, "You need to wear some dingo boots, my friend, and that's gonna improve your confidence level." And was Monday night on Monday Night Football, wasn't very good on TV, but he was on Monday Night Football briefly. Was Nordberg, as we referenced yesterday, in the Naked Gun films, where I saw Liam Neeson is going to be the new Frank Drebin character. I don't know if he's going to play Frank Drebin specifically, but Naked Gun movies are coming back, apparently, with Liam Neeson as that character.
Interesting.
Or a character like Frank Drebin. But O.J. was beloved by people in the 70s. I mean, he played on some bad Bills teams, but they had the electric company, the offensive line, the Joe DeLaMalur, and that offensive line. This is where I wish we had Buffalo Mark here with us, because he could totally break down everything about O.J. Simpson and his career in Buffalo. First guy to rush for 2,000 yards in a season.
And that's not nothing.
And did it when I think it was 14 games?
Yeah.
12 or 14, I can't remember where they were.
They won 16.
Yeah, where they were at when he, I'll have to look that up. But it was not 16 games. And so that made it very impressive that O.J. Simpson was able to do that. And then 1994 rolls around and the murders of his ex-wife and Ron Goldman and the chase on TV and in the white Bronco chase during the Knicks and Rockets championship game, which was just so bizarre. That they had the box and box game going on, Bronco chase in the other box.
This is a little crazy. So sometimes you just find things on social media. So there's a Twitter account or X account, whatever, called Mile High Moments that kind of replays like old Broncos clips or whatever. So caption reads, 1992 post-game interview following the drive to between Broncos and Oilers. O.J. Simpson, who passed away the other day, then employed by NBC Sports, did a post-game interview with John Elway. The Juice was wearing black Aris Isotoner gloves.
Of course he was.
That would be seen much differently 2.5 years later.
Wow. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Chris texted in this morning. How about Aaron Hernandez? Yeah, we mentioned Aaron Hernandez yesterday. Yes, absolutely yes.
Now, I will say this, and it doesn't excuse what he did. I think it just provides some context, because I have read stories that say, and again, we don't know this to be true, and we probably never will know it to be true, that part of the reason we think, some people think, that Aaron Hernandez killed the gentleman that he's alleged to have killed is that person, who's, I can't remember his name, but apparently was threatening to out him as being gay.
Right.
That was the rumor. Now, again, doesn't excuse what he did, and we don't know if that's true or not. But it does kind of make you go, okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's, you know, again, we'll never know. It's just one of those things.
All right. Got one from Dylan this morning. O.J. Simpson, Ray Lewis, Aaron Hernandez, Ray Rice, Lance Armstrong, Richie Incognito. We mentioned Henry Ruggs yesterday as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Leaf, Jose Canseco.
Leaf's getting, his image is definitely improving.
He's definitely turned things around. No doubt about that. Go Denver Pioneers. Cake any pickleball rants on this fine Friday?
We got 2 hours left. We'll see.
Was this from Wednesday? You had some complaints about pickleball.
Oh, you weren't here. That's right. Okay.
No, I was not here.
So Friday show last week, when it was me and Max, or Max and I, he brought up a Four Down Territory story about a gentleman named Christian Alshon who went on social media to say that pickleball was harder than tennis. And I kind of lost my mind. I kind of went on a little tirade.
Have you ever played tennis?
Years and years and years ago when I was like really little.
I've not played pickleball. Played tennis. I can't see pickleball being harder.
No, that's what I said. The whole point of pickleball is that it's supposed to be an easier sport to play in the first place.
Maybe because you're in closer proximity, smaller court, ball gets on you faster.
The fact that the average age of the player is 800 years old.
Whoa. Settle down.
This is what happened. This is what happened.
It's ageist. Tennis is harder. I think tennis is harder. Got more ground to cover.
Yeah.
It's harder. But I can't say that. I shouldn't say that because I have not played pickleball.
Fair enough.
To be fair, I should play pickleball before I make that proclamation. From Steve this morning, can we get away with calling Mount Rushmore bad guys Mount Douchemore?
Mm.
How about Mount Demore? Steve will just make, we'll call it that. How about that? Just so we don't offend anybody. Mount Demore. That's good. That's good, Steve. That's good work this morning. One more before we get to sound check from Mike in Scottsdale this morning. Gonna play a little Apache for Mike since he is the godfather of us playing Apache on the program.
Oh, yes.
Happy Apache Friday, muchachos. Tale of the tape on Aaron Hernandez, convicted of killing Odin Lloyd and indicted for a 2012 double homicide. Rumors persist he was involved in numerous other gang-related crimes, including murders. Don't tiptoe around OJ. He turned two people into Pez dispensers and was acquitted by a jury confused by science and an incompetent prosecution and a really bad investigation as well.
Yeah, one great.
Nice job, Mark Furman. Nice job. Let's be honest. We all know that OJ did it. He did. He did get acquitted. The glove does not fit, so you must acquit. Johnny Cochran. Phil Morris, when he does his Johnny Cochran, is great.
So good.
He's been on the credit card company commercials for Capital One.
Yes.
Because he's supposed to be like the attorney for Charles Barkley, and then he's there at the Magic convenience store, barely working for Magic, and Chuck loses his mind. All right, it's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
TNT, NBA basketball, Pelicans and Kings the other night. How often have we as sportscasters found ourselves wanting or needing sustenance when we're doing games? Very often, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan, best of the best. Even he is not immune.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's throwing something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out and I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it.
It's a chicken wing.
It's a chicken wing.
It's warm. It's crispy. It's delicious. I almost went out there myself.
It is perfect. No notes, Kevin Harlan.
Oh, that's great.
Well done.
Oh, that's fantastic work. That's why he's one of the very, very best. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:54. Jim along with Cake. Got some picks for the Mount Demore that Steve suggested with the death of O.J. Simpson, passed away from cancer at the age of 76. All right, so moving on to happier news, more positive news. Denver University, they're into the championship game of the Frozen Four. It beat Boston University 2-1 in overtime in Minnesota yesterday. Game you might have heard right here on the Team Sports Network. Tristan Broz with the game winner in overtime for the Pioneers. Here's Broz on that big goal for the Pioneers.
Yeah, I just remember back-checking, and I kind of got turned over to Behrens, kind of at the left face-off dot, and then he kind of made a nice little pass to me into the middle. I knew it was kind of a 2-on-1. Riz kind of had a little bit of a step on a guy, and we done that drill yesterday, doing 2-on-1s, and a few times I scored just kind of like no looking, trying to shoot 5-hole, and I kind of just blacked out in that moment and happened to go in.
I like that. I just blacked out, man. So hey, what do you know? Just it went in.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, Boston University got off to the really good start in the first period. Pioneers were able to counter in the second period in that one yesterday at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. And so Rose scoring the 8:51 left in overtime as they were able to get to the championship. Boston College is your overall number one seed. They just went out and hammered Michigan 4-0 to get to the title game. And so for Boston College, excuse me, for DU, a win tomorrow would give them 10 national championships.
Let's go.
Let's go, Pioneers. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back. We'll go around the NFL next hour. Also, where in the world is Tyler Franson? We'll have that for you. I believe Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex will stop by. Talk about DU's win yesterday.
Yes.
The Avalanche and the possibility his beloved Arizona Coyotes might become the Utah Coyotes. We'll dive into that next hour. Talk a little baseball as well. A little more of a deep dive on the Shohei Ohtani interpreter debacle.
It's a mess.
That guy won a lot of money, but man, he lost a lot of money too.
Ooh.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two on the Team Sports Network.
This is Boomer Esiason with CBS Sports Minute. UConn's Gino Auriemma says it's virtually impossible to create relationships with players in the transfer portal era when players aren't sure they'll be with you for 4 years or attend four different schools over those 4 years. It's all transactional now, Auriemma says, lamenting an environment where players feel you owe them everything and they owe you nothing. I'm Boomer Esiason.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right, or it's printed again, free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Shop our best savings for spring during Spring Fest at Lowe's. Right now, get a free leaf blower and select combo kits. And stock up on soil for all your gardening projects. Get 3 bags of 3/4 cubic foot Miracle-Gro garden soil free when you buy 3. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Offers valid through 4/17. Compared to trimmer purchased separately. Blower and trimmer sold packaged together.